Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm John.
And welcome to the show. This week, we will review The Babadook.
The Babadook.
As always, John will give us the plot, and don't say it one more time. It's one of those. Why is everything threes? Everything's in threes, right?
Yeah, everything's in threes, mostly including the temperature in Los Angeles, California right now.
It's not definitely terrible, but
here's your forecast from the Skeleton Boys. Outside, the humidity is awful and it is fucking hot. You're welcome, Los Angeles. I know this doesn't help you 3 or 4 weeks from now, but just remember 3 or 4 weeks ago on this day. Actually, not this day.
You know who I blame?
Subtract 3 or 4 weeks and 4 days, right? Because
I didn't know there was going to be math for this podcast, so I might be out.
Well, you know, you signed up for this.
Because
we're doing.
When did I sign? Yeah,
we're doing a new format. We're using FaceTime by Macintosh. So everything's different.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you know who I blame? You know who's in town?
Oh, Biden.
Biden. Yeah.
Sleepy Joe.
Biden. Sleepy Joe likes the heat. He's an old man. He's too cold for him.
He's like,
he turned it up.
It's too cold for me, Jack.
I need it at 85. A cool 85.
I was actually on the road at work. I mean, I wasn't driving. I was in a pass van, but we didn't make our day because Sleepy Joe decided to fucking block off pretty much all of LA. Like,
yeah,
like anybody in LA gives a shit. He's around.
He's like, dude, you already have her vote. So he's just like he's just collecting money. He's going around collecting money, shaking people down for more money. I don't know. Is that what? It's the only reason why he's here, right?
Yeah.
And let me be clear. I'm a fan. I am a complete fan of it. Considering the alternatives, I voted for him. But just anytime any kind of president or anybody official comes, like the whole fucking city fucking shuts down and it's super annoying.
Well, I feel like when Obama was in town, he didn't close off this many fucking streets. let me be clear too. I voted for him. I'm not a fan.
Doing your duty. Yeah. Vote for people who you don't like. Yeah. Good man. Good soldier.
That's why I voted for Rick Caruso. Vote for Rick. Oh, no. The voting's over. Now that it's over.
I didn't vote for him.
I didn't fucking vote for Rick Caruso either. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just like all these celebrities fucking like, oh, yeah, vote for Rick Caruso, like Kim Kardashian. I'm like, you don't live in Los Angeles County, you fuck.
I know. Same thing with fucking Snoop Dogg. They all live in Beverly Hills and shit. Fucking. Yeah. And that's our LA podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. LA Politic Podcast.
It's hot and the politics suck.
I'm gonna do it like Biden.
It's hot and it sucks, Jack.
Spot on. You took me there.
I know.
I closed my eyes and I was there.
Oh yeah. I'm wearing sunglasses. Let's just leave it at that.
All right. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But we'll go to TV Corner, And we'll continue with episode 7 of From. John, what did you think of this action-packed episode?
That was perfect timing. I was cracking open a cold one. It's actually a cocktail. And it spilled all over me right when he asked me that question. And he gave the appropriate response because I was like,
Yeah.
Oh, that's refreshing.
You're a fan. You're a fan of a refreshing episode.
I liked it. I thought it was good. I feel like every thought we had was wrong, I guess. Specifically about the priest, right? We thought he was going to be the bad guy. We were convinced. I think that's what they were aiming for, and he's not. He actually had a good idea, right? They just want...
Right.
But before anything can get off the ground, I guess, he fucking gets his throat slit. What you're saying, he could still be alive. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. He might be alive.
I don't know.
I didn't see a dead body. They didn't eat him. He's alive.
That's true. He only did get his throat slashed. But yeah, that was a pretty cool ending, though. I like how we were convinced, or I guess I was convinced, that What's-Her-Face, the other actor that's not very good, was going to be the one that was going to open all the doors and shit. But nope. Turns out some dude who is really desperate to bone a ghost. Like, that kind of bugged me. I had no idea who this person was.
Yeah, that's a good point. So last week we saw that unnamed residents of a colony house was having a sort of flirty relationship with one of the ghosts outside, right?
Yeah.
Or something. And well, he finally acted on it and opened the window, let her in and let everybody else in to attack. So that was kind of annoying that it wasn't anybody that we knew. So it was just a random person. And you would think, and Colony House has made it very clear, they share everything. Clothes, people. They're very hippie. So I don't understand why you couldn't just knock on somebody's door and start some sort of relationship. See, the relationships are very open. So
yeah, like What's-Her-Face, crazy horny girl. I shouldn't throw crazy around like that. The unwell horny girl gets fucking killed. Like he could have gone to her, but maybe it's because she's a little unwell, right? Like she was pretending to have a baby and it was a fucking pillow.
Yeah, there's a couple of... Colony House just seems like more and more of like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Like I don't understand why they living together in this hippie commune is a good idea. Yeah. Rather than live in town.
I don't know.
They haven't quite explained that. And you know what I'm starting to think is there aren't enough houses. Maybe that's why they all have to live together.
That or, you know, it's some people prefer the country. You know, country living and... We come from the country, you know?
Yeah.
But we still lived in houses, so they're psychos.
Well, yeah. I mean, I also want to nitpick on the idea that how many fucking people live in Colony House, dude? It's like...
Oh, how many fucking 30... people live in Colony House?
Yeah.
All of them are fucking... I'm just kidding.
That's true. 30 plus people live in this house. I don't understand why they choose to live like this, like sardines.
Yeah.
Like, what's the advantage to any of this?
Oh, maybe that's the plan. Maybe that's how they're trying to get out. Like, that's their way out of this purgatory, is if they cram enough people into one house, eventually the U.S. government's going to be like, nuh-uh, no, sir, and come by and kick them all out. And they're going to force them into jail, but they'll be out of the box. Genius. Rick Caruso is going to come by and kick him off.
Also, so they were celebrating Fatimia's anniversary. She'd been lived there 16 years. Is that right? Or am I making that up?
Sure. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and so therefore they're having a party that leads to the ensuing chaos from it. And we learn that Ellis is a drunk all of a sudden. He seemed like a pretty chill dude, but apparently he's a flask guy. He just sort of flask it up. I don't know where his anger comes from. And they dropped the bomb that his mom was the same way or something. Oh, yeah. Mom was crazy. So we know that's Boyd's son. So I want to actually hear more about that.
You know, honestly,
I guess Julie.
Oh, sorry. Huh? Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to quickly mention another story thing that Julie wanted to kiss Fedmia also. Is that where we left it? She's suddenly having feelings for Fedmia.
I don't think she knows what she wants. Like, what a. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, what a fucking brat. Like, who holds all this, like, resentment and then this, like, crazy thing's happening and, like, I don't care.
You guys were going to divorce. I know what this trip's about. You guys were going to divorce. I'm going to go call it your house.
You're not going to distract me with ghouls and ghosts. Here, hold on. I'm going to close my blinds because I'm going to pretend that the heat is actually coming from
the light through the podcast. Window. Yeah. Our conversation. Yeah. Our very astute conversation. Yeah. I can see that you're melting with the sun hitting you.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm back. I just got to give my plants some lights because I'm a plant mom now. So congratulations. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Round of applause. I got a bunch of free plants from the show I work on.
Oh, you mean that they got stuck in your car and you forgot to take them down, so you brought them in? Is that what happened?
I was pretty good about taking them out of my car because my newer car, I keep impeccably clean, which is why it's annoying that I sink so much money into it. And then somebody decides to hit my car in my parking lot and doesn't come forward. But if you're listening to this podcast, shame. Thank you for the listen.
Which you are. So, but yeah. So what else happened? Oh, Victor threw Julia in one of those wormhole trees or something.
Oh yeah.
Right?
The far away randos. He gave it some weird dumb name. I really liked it though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens.
Victor's my...
Victor's your favorite?
No, go ahead. Yeah, we go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. He's my favorite, too. He seems to be the only one that knows what to do. I was going to say, yeah, I guess... It's like a bunch of things happen in this episode, but all I can focus on is the end, because it was kind of a fun end. Considering people start to get brutally murdered, and it's kind of fun. I really like the part where... they really toy with the people they're going to kill, like horny, unbalanced lady, young lady, very young lady, walks into the bedroom. Does she recognize the person? Is that what it is? I rewatched it, and it seemed like she walks in, and she's like, what? Who are you? And then she turns around and realizes that the other people are ghouls, too, and then they're just kind of fucking with her.
Yeah, I just think she... didn't recognize her, which is a weird thing. You think you see somebody different, that would be the first thought. Like if I lived in that situation, if I saw anybody different, I'd be like, I wouldn't be welcoming. I would be like, oh, the fuck is that? Shut the door. It's the fucking ghouls.
Unlike now, where you invite everybody into your home. Just kidding. Nothing would change is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I don't know you. You're a stranger.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was cool. I really enjoyed. There's like some older guy that's... I guess they're drinking, right? For some reason, they're like partying a little bit. Oh, they're celebrating what Fantoma's 16 year or whatever.
I don't know.
They're celebrating Sweet 16. Her quinceañera for living there. So 15, yeah. Whatever. So something years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some dude is like complaining, like, I don't know, I've just been here longer, so I don't know why, blah, 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 this. And then, like, the blood drips on him, and you look up, and homeboy that looks like the dude that's going to play Adam Warlock is just, like, grinning at him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was good.
And he realizes, that was good, yeah. That was really, really tight. So they attack Colony House, and I guess the safety protocols to go to the city or go to the town, so they all evacuate, they take their buddies and they get in the cars and they drive down there. So there's like this mad scramble with different people being murdered, and Ellis was asleep. He was sleeping one off because he's drinking too much, and Fadmia catches up with him, and they use that totem in the sort of, not a room,
like,
but
a,
it's
like a sunroom type of deal. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, like a little in between area where the, I guess like a, where you would say like a porch kind of situation.
Yeah,
like a sunroom, like you said. And then
interesting that they didn't close the doors all the way, but then these things can't just come in, which makes me think you're right. Maybe they are vampires, I guess. I don't know.
Vampires, called it. They're vampires. Yeah.
And the reason Harold or Boyd is shaking is because he's turning into a werewolf because it's closer to the full moon.
Oh! Yep.
And then Michael Sheen's going to come out and go like, hello, everybody. That's the only scene I've seen in any Twilight. And I watched the first Twilight maybe 5 times. I don't remember a single fucking thing in it.
So who's Van Helsing in this? Is there, I know you're talking Twilight, but I'm thinking of Van Helsing with the brilliant Hugh Jackman.
Who would be
who's Van Frankenstein?
Frankenstein is definitely Victor.
Oh, you're doing it. You're making it all work.
he is the monster this place has created.
And Jim or Tabitha or Van Helsing? Let's.
Yeah, I guess
the
so.
The new family. I'm not sold on that as much. But Donna could be Van Helsing.
That's true.
She's tough broad.
Yeah.
And
no, you know what? It would be what's his name? Kenny, right? That's his name. He's probably going to be the Van Helsing. He just needs to have his moment to come
up. You're right, 100%. Yeah. He's going to graduate from deputy to sheriff once Boyd gets the Parkinson's.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No, because Donna's more of like, she's like that character in Lord of the Rings, what is he? Not a troll, what is he? God, I'm fucking blanking.
She's the Two Towers.
And my axe, yeah. That guy. Or in Mark Steele.
The meme? Yeah, Gimli.
Gimli, yeah. That's who Donna is.
So who's Legolas? Just guessing all that. Everything has to match up and work.
Yeah. I mean, Legolas would have to be Ellis, I think.
These Lord of the Rings and Twilight are legendary, classically told stories. They all fit to any story. So we could make it all work.
Thank you, Peter Jackson, for inspiring from.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, I thought that was really cool. It was probably the most action-y, kind of horror-y moment of the show. Yeah, and
it was very
horror-y. A lot of shit happened. Very hoary, and so a couple of quick other story things. That was kind of like the main stuff, but the other quick kind of story stuff that happened was Kenny and Jade is living with Kenny, and he's drawing the symbols, and his mom told him he has to go eat.
That's right.
Little moment there.
I forgot about that, and then she's takes him to that, like the storage area. And opens up that box, and he's like, why are you showing me all these like old things? And then realizes that whomever it was also drawing the
Yeah.
The same.
That was last week's episode, but yeah.
Oh.
So, but.
Damn. Yeah, you see, no, like, okay. Like the end of this one, like, really ruined everything else for me because I'm like, oh yeah, okay, now we're really getting into it.
So, the next little storyline was the father tells Boyd about Sarah keeping Sarah alive, and Boyd does the correct thing and wanting to shoot him. Yeah. He pulls his gun out on the father. He wants to kill him. I was like, I thought about it, and I was like, that's a little dramatic. And then I thought about what he did to that other, punishing that other survivor, I guess, yeah, or another person in town. And I was like, that actually tracks. Like, I would be really fucking pissed. I'd pull a gun on somebody too and be like, dude, you pushed me, persuaded me to kill this other guy. And
yeah, because he's low-key, you know, manipulative. Like, he's, you know.
He did. Yeah. He totally did.
He manipulated him doing that. And then he manipulated, what's her name? Sarah, right? Is that the unbalanced?
Sarah.
Girl? Yeah. Into thinking that he was going to help her. But he's, again, just manipulating her so he can, like, get enough information to share with the rest of the group, I guess.
And
I guess you could say he's a real cutthroat.
Whoa! And what you've been alluding to is that it ends with the colony house entering the town, and for some reason Boyd and the father seem completely comfortable going outside, and they don't have any sort of worry. And
yeah, I was a little
there might
confused.
Be creatures.
Yeah,
yeah, and that leads the father to have his throat slit and taken inside before he's eaten alive.
Yeah, not the father, but the priest, just to be clear. That, yeah.
The priest, he got a throat slit and he gets taken inside, and Boyd does, like, I guess a Hail Mary with him or something, right? Is that right? Something?
Yeah, Catholic. Something. Sure. Something Catholic, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And he presumably dies, but I don't think he's dead. I'm gonna say he's not dead. I think he survived. The last little bit is we see that Tabitha and Jim, the new family, are rekindling a romance.
Yeah.
So
it's a very beautiful thing.
So Tabitha is still digging the hole with her son. Yeah. We'll see if that
another
story
beautiful
thread
thing yeah.
pops up. And I think that's it. A very action packed episode. I really enjoyed it. It just flew by.
Yeah.
For me, it was a really solid episode. Yeah. Really excited where they left it and excited about watching the next one. And I know that we only have like 3 left for the season finale. So
nice.
Still all in on this show. It's really good.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah. And let's move over to our main review of The Babadook. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny 5 words plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Johnny's 5 word plot summary for The Babadook, Duke. Coming in at number 3, I have story time drives kid crazy.
Yeah, that's about right. Very accurate.
That's it, actually. I'm done. No, okay. Coming in at number 2 for The Babadook, Duke. Relentless squatter gaslights family. If you believe it's real, which it is.
Okay.
And coming in at number 1 for The Babadook, Duke. Mother, son, and Yas Queen. That's what I got for Babadook.
Okay, so I'm sure all of you are asking yourself.
Because we all know Babadook.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, the whole history behind the Babadook becoming like the poster child for the LGBTQ community back in when it came out.
Yeah, yeah.
Accidentally released as a gay film on Netflix or something.
Oh.
That's a part of the story.
So, you have to walk me through that. So we thought it'd be really fun that to with this being Pride Month and this being maybe the last episode of June, that we would do an, you know, LGBTQ horror movie. And you suggested The Babadook, which I had never seen, which I thought was great because I hadn't seen it and you have. And I, first I would say I really enjoyed the movie. Really, really liked it. It's a wonderful movie. But you have to explain to me why it's a LGBTQ film. Because I was a little confused by that. Because I didn't get anything from it. And I understand that it's like a meme. It was a meme somebody said, and they kind of grew out of that. But do you, I wanted to kind of hear from you as a boy.
I kind of remember it being partially, not fully, partially. It was released as considered a gay film or something, and I forgot what streaming platform, and people just took to it. Because also, The Babadook itself exists almost out of defiance, right? It's not... it wants to be what it is, and it wants to be there, and it wants to be accepted because, well, I don't want to spoil it, but I'm kind of spoil the movie a little bit. Is that fine for this explanation?
Yeah, I think so. We'll play this one a little different. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Because ultimately, in the end, you realize that this thing is not actually a mean spirit, ultimately, right? It just kind of goes around and kind of in a rebellious nature exists. And if people don't like it, then, well, fuck you type of deal, right? But when it finally gets an acceptance, like it's accepted by this mom, it becomes a part of the family and they accept the Babadook for what the Babadook is, and the Babadook is now happier.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that was what resonated a lot in the LGBT community.
Like a different reading of the creature. Like it's self-identifying with the sort of creature in the movie as a metaphor for their own trials and tribulations in society, right? Is that the vibe I'm getting? Basically.
Yeah. That wasn't, of course, that wasn't the intention with the director, but the director wholeheartedly supported the theory and was like, I really love that and I accept it. We can continue on and consider this a gay film if it helps. Because, yeah, you know, like it was, it's kind of a charming ending, right? It's very cute. And you're still not 100% sure if this thing is real or not, but I'm pretty sure it is. And I think that's also the idea too. Like a lot of people are like, well, I mean, are you sure you're gay? Maybe you're not gay. And it's like, no. And then as soon as people see a person for being queer, all of a sudden, you know, they become an ugly creature to people for some reason. And, you know, if you just accept your acceptance is what it's about. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen the memes where the Babadook is there and it's like the little picture in the storybook. And it's got like, you know, rainbow hair.
Yeah, really cute. Okay, cool. Yeah, I was the only part I was confused about because I took this more as like a metaphor for like mental illness and for like grief, maybe postpartum. Yeah. Right, because there's certain things we learn about the mom, and she seems like she's having tons of problems with reality and like mental health, right? Because she can't seem to handle her kid, she's not sleeping enough, you know, and she's just everyone seems to be a negative in her life, right? There's really nothing for her to latch onto, and I definitely felt that in the story, yeah.
It's crazy. I'm glad you saw that in the movie. And then other people explained the same thing to me too. Like, you know, it seems like everything just seems to be going wrong for this person, blah, blah, blah. And that's what makes her interesting. I'm like, what? Oh, you mean other people aren't like me? I just assumed that this was a normal movie because that's my normal life. Everything's just always fucked.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay, cool. This is kind of boring because I'm used to this. And everybody's like, what?
Yeah. No, I totally get that. Yeah. And I think it's heavily, the director did a great job of showing her kind of mental state very exaggeratedly throughout the movie, and it progressively getting worse and worse and worse, and you could tell there's like all kinds of like issues, you know. She's not really having a grip on reality, and I think that's what, to me, what I first saw was that's what the Babadook is, right? Babadook is our worst feelings and insecurities and our things that we keep inside of us. This only manifested in this sort of creature, and it's her not able to get rid of these, but able to live with it. And that's something that a lot of people who have certain mental ailments, you know what I mean? Like, there's people who are bipolar. They kind of just something that they never get over. It's just something they live with, you know, this different kind of mental diseases and stuff. So, and I think that's where she was coming from, right? Like, that's what the Babadook represented to her, because it sort of, I thought the film was good. I thought it was trying to get the boy, but in fact, it went after her, probably because of her weak mental state, I think, right?
Right. So, yeah. No, well, I mean, I think, to be fair, the Babadook was like, I'm going to get this. Oh, this kid's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
go for it.
I wanted to, like, wring this kid's neck. I was so annoyed with this fucking kid.
Yeah.
They did a great job with that.
Yeah, it's like the first time the kid starts screaming, that's when the Babadook was like, nope, I'm out. I'm going to get the mom.
Yeah. That was really, that.
Or maybe the Babadook was like, you know, if this lady is willing to put up with this kid, maybe I got a shot. You want to be my mom too, or what's the deal?
I'm low maintenance. You could stick me in the basement and feed me worms and shit.
Yeah, you could feed me worms. You know, I've only got the one outfit. Yeah. You know, you never have to clean it. It's all good. I'm really good at drawing. I'm creative. I like to write storybooks. There are pop-up books too. But the whole time that the mom's just like in shock, because the Babadook also can't speak English. It just sounds like it's screaming all the time too. Yeah. So the Babadook's trying to explain, it's like, hey, you know, I only wear black, you know, so it's not a big deal. Yeah. My colors don't really fade. But the mom only hears, but the Babadook's like, I got this cool hat.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really have to do my hair.
Excellent. What a great movie. Absolutely great movie. I don't know why I never watched it.
I'm glad.
Yeah,
you liked
I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. And
I mean, I thought we also decided that the Aussies really know what they're doing.
Except for that one movie you didn't like.
Right?
You did.
Oh, you did Wormwood, like Wormwood, right?
Yeah. You were no.
I did not approve of Wormwood. Yeah. It's, I'm going to give it a hard pass.
Yeah. But this was great. And I saw that Jennifer Kent is doing the anthology series with Guillermo del Toro. Did you see that? Curiosities or something along those lines. It's like a really like a who's who of modern horror directors. I forgot to send, they did like a teaser trailer this week and I forgot to send it to you. I just was like crazy busy.
Oh, yeah. No, I would like to watch.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah, because, you know, she's been doing this for a long time, but I don't think until this movie, she hadn't really gotten her big break, except for obviously being Lab Lady and Babe Picking the City.
Sure, yeah.
So, Baram you. I will randomly go around every once in a while. I'll just walk around work going, Baram you. Sheep be true. And there's always one or two people like, yeah, dog. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm glad. I'm glad people are like, hell yeah, to fucking Babe.
Yeah.
But yeah, fantastic movie. So you enjoyed it.
Loved it. Yeah. It's excellent.
Yeah. You're right. Like her sink into insanity. And then that whole, when she starts sleepwalking, right? Mm-hmm. That was fucking rad. And then you realize she's become the bad guy. It's very, have you seen Hereditary?
No, that's another one I have not seen.
Once you watch Hereditary, you're going to see a lot of similarities in like the mood and tone of between what's her name? S.C.
Davis. Davis, right? Yeah.
Yeah. S.C. Davis and Toni Collette.
Hmm.
Yeah. Both fucking brilliant actresses, by the way.
No, yeah, this is a great performance. She did an excellent job. I've never seen her before, but she had great conveyance of her, I don't want to mischaracterize it, like her sadness. I think that's a really broad way to say it, but there was always anguish in her face at every point, and they did a great job of, she did a great job of conveying that. It was, she was excellent in this. So it's the little kid too. This is,
yeah, look at, yeah, was great. It was like, hey, I need you to be a brat. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why the kid's Lil Jon, by the way, but
what?
That's what I just said for, yeah, the kid. What? What? I need you to shut up. What? Shut up. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's petition to remake the Babadook with the same exact actors, except the kid is replaced with Lil Jon.
There it is. It'd be funny if he just showed up on set dressed up as him and being like, well, this is just my normal clothes. This is just what I dress up in.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I wish I still, I don't know, a few people probably know this, but I used to work at this company called FunnyOrDie.com.
Never heard of it.
Very long time. I mean, I feel like people are going to start to not know what that is at all, but because it is gone. I mean, it's, they're still making things, but nobody knows what FunnyOrDie, yeah, is anymore. I think the kid did a couple of things. Like when they were promoting the film here, the kid went and did a couple shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Here. I forgot where I was going with this. Fuck. My bad.
I don't know. You just want to talk about FunnyOrDie?
Anyway, yeah. Just... yeah, yeah. I want to tell you. I want to just brag about FunnyOrDie. No, I was going to talk about... fuck. It had something to do with the movie and the way it was made. It'll come back to me, or it's not that important. Premium content. Yeah. Subscribe to our Patreon.
It's just you rambling on about different places you worked. Yeah.
It's like, how many jobs have you had? Well, I work freelance, so all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't had a normal job. I mean, the job I'm in right now is the closest I've come to feeling like I've had a steady,
yeah, work,
or like a regular job,
a normal work situation.
And it's almost over too.
Yeah.
And that is my review of the box.
I feel like one thing I also want to add was I would like the choice of painting the house. Since we spend the majority of time in it, they painted the house very kind of cool neutral colors, so it almost seemed abstract to convey, I think, maybe her mental state, yeah, right? Like,
and sort of forming into the book, yeah, as well, like what you see in the book and the, yeah, colors and all that.
Which was, I thought, was a really nice touch as well. Really smart, really well thought. I think Jennifer Kent wrote and directed this, so she is definitely,
oh yeah,
a major talent, you know, in the horror and in filmmaking, yeah, in general. And she also was saying that everybody was begging her to make a sequel, and she's like, I'm never making a sequel, which I completely respect as well. So
yeah, smart. Yeah. Because you've already done everything you need to do for the film. So don't,
I think,
you
know? Yeah, I think the points and the ideas she went out to express were all done. You know, there's no point in telling more of a story, right? I mean, I think that, no,
unless you get like the Babadook becomes a rebellious teen, even though the Babadook is like centuries old, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it gets like a mohawk, a really big mohawk, and walks around in like punk leather cut off sleeve jackets and stuff like that. I'd watch that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that's what I would watch.
And it's kind of fun that it,
or the Babadook falls in love.
The Babadook is another Babadook.
Yeah. A Lala Duke.
You know, well, I don't know what I'm about to say is correct or not, but I do believe Baba is like another way to say like father, isn't it?
Ma.
Or like parent or something, or it's like a nickname. I could be making that up. I'll cut all this out.
Baba?
I'll cut all this out if I sound stupid. So, but I thought it had some, and they, of course, the father dies. The father dies. Is I wrong?
Baba, maybe, because I was going to say, I think it's like sounds similar to like words used for like mother or
father, right?
Like a babushka, right? Is a lady of town and stuff like that, or a lady of town. I'm a linguist over here. You're welcome, everybody. let me tell you. So this word actually means lady of town.
Father. It does mean father. In Baba means father. It's a term, Persian term. Yeah, like in West Asian, South Asian cultures, they say Baba something, right? Like Baba, the name or whatever of somebody. Or Sikish as well. So I was right. Look at me being smart. So I'm assuming that relates to the dad, right? So.
Oh, well, Babadook, it looks like, is a Polish term for boogeyman.
That too. Boogeyman.
Polish, a Polish term.
Not boogie person or whatever.
Not boogie person. Let's be clear.
Man.
Let's go, Brandon.
Oh my God. Did you? I don't know. I want to spoil Men for you. I heard what Men was about, but I don't. I'll tell you later.
Is it? No. I think the audience wants to know. Is it similar to that movie that I wasn't crazy about? Lucky? Yeah.
Yeah. Men are terrible. Men are terrible. I'll leave it at that. But there's a certain sequence that we can not spoil here that I heard about. I mentioned that because we talked about maybe watching it, and I think we dodged a bullet on that one. So I think the next thing is, you know what's opening is Black Phone with Ethan Hawke, which we're going to watch and review for the show. So.
Yeah, so look forward to that, our peoples, because we are Ethan Hawke stands through and through.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
From the crap to the great. Just kidding. There is no crap.
No, he's never made a bad movie. He's been in bad movies, but he's never bad in it. So.
Yeah. He's been in terrible shows.
Oh, no. But he wasn't bad.
He wasn't bad at all. No. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, no, yeah.
That's because I love Oscar Isaac. Yeah, good movie.
Excellent movie, yeah.
I would say there would be plenty to talk about, but we usually get very nitpicky about films. Mm-hmm. This one, I mean, it's just kind of a solid film, like a really solid film.
Yeah, once you kind of... kind of put your head around what the metaphor is and the different ideas that they're trying to spin, it kind of all makes perfect sense. You know, it's all there. Plus, they do a great job of expressing those ideas over and over and over again. And never really like opaque or like very, what is another word? They don't really hint around stuff. They're not subtle about it. They kind of hit you over the head over certain ideas over and over again. And they come through very nicely. And there's a great story, horror story in here as well. So.
Yeah. Oh, so I will say, upon rewatching, like in the comfort of my home, which I've actually, full disclosure, I've seen this movie several times.
Yeah.
It is more endearing and heartfelt since you know what it's about. But when I saw this in theaters, I think I saw this at... The Los Feliz 3.
Nice.
It scared the fucking hell out of me.
The theater? The tiny theater?
Yeah. The theater itself. I mean, I couldn't even watch the Babadook because I was so afraid to be in there. No,
it's a tiny marionette theater, like, or something. Tiny screens.
The surround sound. No, but I think like I saw it in the main theater.
Yeah, I'm joking.
Even though I feel like, I don't know why I'm reviewing the Los Feliz 3 now.
Should,
but like,
tell me, was it a comfortable temperature in the Los Feliz 3?
I think the Los Feliz 3 has the most perfect almost everything. I really enjoy the small theater for like those indie films.
Yeah,
I enjoy the middle theater for more of the artsy stuff. And then I like the thick big theater for the popcorn flicks. Which Los Feliz 3 doesn't do shitty films, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They're specifically picked.
Yeah, no,
and
I
that's
agree.
My review of the Los Feliz 3 theater.
So what is your opinion on...
No, but I think I saw the Babadook in the big one.
Okay.
So the surround sound... No. No, I did see it in the small one, because I remember like the speakers right next to me.
It's right
when
here.
It said the Babadook, it kept bouncing back and forth stereo style, so it kind of sounded like it was coming from behind you and then kind of in front of you. It was like, oh,
that's awesome.
Creepy. The whole like, the Babadook, Duke. And I was like, oh, shit.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's excellent. So what's your review of The Highland 3?
Would not recommend.
Opposite of Los Feliz. Yeah, in every way possible.
I spent a solid, I don't know, I haven't been there in years. I tried because I'm like, hey, it's like one of the cheaper theaters for a very obvious reason. But I think one time I went, I was trying to watch, it was some shit movie anyway, so I wasn't overly upset. Oh, The Winchester. Yeah, the movie sucked. But I was trying to watch it, and then these two people come barreling in, and they're just fucking talking. And it sounded like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Max Mom, that actress.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
I've seen.
It's like, she's very, like, she smokes cigarettes, and, like, she does talk every once in a while, but she mostly just grunts, like, It sounded like these two people were fucking having a conversation like that, walking into the theater, and I was like, oh, my God, these people are fucking annoying. And I turned back, and it's, like, these two, like, really ragged, like, obviously drunks, these two women, just, like, drunks, you could tell. And then they fucking pull out tall boys and just crack them open and just foam beer everywhere and start chugging. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? So I go.
You got their number.
To the front.
You got their number.
I got their number. Yeah. I go to the front and I'm like, hey, yo, there are these two older ladies that are just causing a lot of fucking ruckus. And they keep yelling fuck and shit like that because they're hitting each other. Go do something about it. Of course, they're not going to do anything about it because everybody that works at the Highland 3 is like 16 and younger for some fucking reason.
Slave wages. Yeah.
Like one guy was like, one guy was like, oh, I don't know what to do. So he just like walks in, kind of just stands there, sees who I was talking about, and was like, and then walks out. And I was like, what the fuck, dude?
Well, I haven't been there in years as well. And I used to go with my fiance, and I used to tell her, well, at least it has air conditioning. We don't have to be home when it's fucking hot. We go to a nice, cool, dark theater. That was usually the highlight of the trip. So, but
oh,
yeah.
Oh, man. You know, I used to go out of my way to travel to the Arclight RIP.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't mind spending $1 billion to watch park. A movie because it was... Yeah, to park also, because it was well worth the experience every time.
Yeah, 100% agree. Yeah.
Like I said, saw Space Odyssey 2001 there, and it was a fucking gorgeous experience.
Yep.
I was stoned out of my gourd, but yeah, that's what I did.
Even the Arclight, they had in Pasadena. I went there a couple times. And it was fine. It was fine. So I know, you know, it's not the same, but it was good. It was a really well-run theater. But, well, that's our theater, movie theater, LA movie theater show.
So would not recommend watching the Babadook at the Highland 3.
In the summer.
Would recommend at the Los Feliz 3.
Yeah, in the big theater.
exactly.
Okay. Do you want to have any last thoughts before we go into ratings?
No, just if you haven't seen it, you should watch it.
Yeah.
It's a fucking great movie.
Yeah. All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give the Babadook, Dook, 9 out of 10 sexy Aussie bones.
Yeah, I'm the same as well. I'm as well going to give it 9 sexy spooky bones out of 10. Great movie. Should have watched it sooner. That's my bad, but you know, I got to finally see it. So
it's only like 8 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that check out?
No, actually, yeah, it does. No? 9 years.
Nine years. Yeah. There you go.
But
let's see. Yeah, 2014. Yeah.
How much do you think this movie, real quick, this is another aside. How much do you think this movie would play well black and white? All black and white. Kind of like,
I don't know. Maybe.
You don't?
Probably. But I think it would play better if it gradually became more black and white and you just didn't notice.
Yeah.
Call it a reverse Pleasantville, if you will.
Reverse Pleasantville. That's a $1 million idea. That actually sounds fun. I'm not going to lie. That sounds cool. I like that idea too. Okay. Just a random thought. Okay. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
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 Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to